So the purpose of my visit was to go and get a real sense of what we're doing and what the humanitarian situation in Yemen is. There was a time where Yemen was the biggest humanitarian catastrophe that we were focused on and dealing with. And now, unfortunately, the world has moved on and it's barely getting any attention. Obviously, humanitarians and the UN, we continue to be on the ground. We continue to provide aid. We continue to provide assistance, but it's also important that we take stock and find ways to bring attention back to Yemen. There's been a little bit of progress. The UN brokered truce continues to hold, even though it has officially expired. It has led to a decrease, for example, in conflict-related fatalities. It has led to an improvement in the movement of UN agencies and humanitarian agencies across Yemen. It has led to a bit of a revitalization of the private sector, so there is more things to buy in the markets, and people are able to reduce their needs for humanitarian assistance. But we know very, very well that this progress is very fragile and that we need to build on it so that we don't regress. And that would be the real danger.
Of course, with the developments in the region, I wanted to ask about the effects of the Houthi attacks in the Red Sea and the American-British attacks on Houthi positions inside of the country, on generally the humanitarian operation in Yemen.
As I said, we continue to see an improvement in our ability to respond, right? And any escalation or any insecurity is always a threat to the most vulnerable people across the country. And in the case of Yemen, the most vulnerable are always the Mohammedin, the people who are displaced, those who are with disabilities, etc. So yes, there's been a bit of an improvement in the security situation that allows us to move a little bit, that has allowed some of the displaced persons to go back to their countries. But a lot of other issues remain. For example, hunger and malnutrition remain chronic. More than 17.5 million people across Yemen suffer from hunger. Among them are 5 million children. Lack of access to education for children. There is 4.5 million children who do not go to school across Yemen. So the needs continue. There is an improvement. The needs continue. And we need to scale back and we need to remember always that the most vulnerable are the ones who suffer in any context, in any insecurity, in any flare-up of the conflict. And those would have to be or have to be the priority that we all focus on to make sure that we meet their needs and ensure their well-being as well.
As you mentioned, the security situation in the country remains relatively calm. What are the major drivers then of this humanitarian need that persists?
A few things. One is, this particular iteration of the conflict has been going on for almost 10 years now. So it's kind of a buildup of the impact of 10 years of conflict. And more specifically, I think the impact that that conflict has had on the economic situation across Yemen. Yes, there's been, decades of underdevelopment in Yemen as well. Yes, we know that Yemen has always been one of, the poorest country in the Middle East and North Africa. It is now one of the poorest countries in the world. The economic situation is, it's catastrophic. We know that civil servants are not getting their salaries. We know that the health infrastructure has been decimated. We know that the public sector in a lot of areas has been severely damaged. So it's a combination of all of these things under development and decades of war, persistent economic crisis that has led to the persistent humanitarian needs across Yemen.
I wanted to go back a little to your visit. Can you tell us a little about what you heard from the people on the ground, their personal stories? I want to hear more about what they say.
One of the visits that impacted me the most was to the offices of an NGO, the center called Nema Foundation. And it's impressive because it's created by Yemenis for Yemenis. It provides training to vulnerable people, to people who have just finished their studies, people who are looking for jobs, some refugees, some migrants. It provides them with trainings on life skills, and it finances some micro projects. And what's great about it is that this is exactly the kind of work that we want to see so that we decrease and minimize humanitarian needs. As I visited the center, I spoke with some women. There were some refugee women. There were some women who were doing handicrafts projects using silver jewelry to create things. There were people who were selling some traditional products from Yemen. And so this is, the kind of work that we as humanitarians always want to see. How do we build capacity? How do we provide the long-term support that would make humanitarian needs decrease less and less. And for me, this is inevitable because we're always talking about the increasing number of humanitarian needs around the world and the decreasing resources. And the solution to address that is to reduce the need for humanitarian assistance. So the more capacity that we build, the more we invest in longer term projects, the better it is.
Speaking of resources, like you mentioned, unfortunately, the world has moved on from Yemen and many other crises around the world. How does funding look right now for the humanitarian operations in Yemen?
It's not great. It's not great. It's not great in Yemen. It's not great in a lot of countries around the world. Our global appeal is less than 20% funded. It's 17% funded, and we are halfway through the year. We're already in June. We're very much aware of that. We're very, very concerned about this, and we continue to appeal to our donors to dig deeper into their pockets because the needs continue to increase, and we cannot let people who are affected by conflict and by natural disasters and by the impact of the climate crisis, we cannot let them down.
Martin Griffiths said a few days ago at a press conference here in New York that humanity is losing at ending wars, despite expressing some hope for Yemen. Do you think that we can win the battle of ending the war in Yemen?
I think we have no other option than to be hopeful. I think it's really important that we keep the focus on those who are suffering the most because of this war. And it is the most vulnerable people across Yemen. It is the women who have to raise their children alone. It is the displaced people who have had to leave their villages, their communities, their jobs, and are now struggling to make a living. Those are the ones who are most affected. It's the people with disabilities. So we need to focus on who is the biggest victim of this war. And once we understand that and we accept that, I think the world will have no other option and the parties will have no other option than to work harder towards peace.